Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is taken from John chapter 6, verse 32, which is a little few verses beyond our text this morning. These words, Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." Our gospel reading today, John 6, tells us of Jesus feeding the 5,000. This account, which is also found in the other gospels, is part of a larger section in John, which takes in most of chapter 6. Taken together, this section centers on the teaching of Jesus as the bread from heaven. This miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 is not just a demonstration of Jesus' ability to provide for the needs of mankind. It certainly does that, but there is more. The words that John uses to describe this event introduces us to Jesus' teaching on the bread of life. This miracle helps us answer that age-old question, the question that the people had at the time of Jesus, and people still have today. Who is this Jesus? Is he the one? Is he the Messiah? And what does it matter? Why is it important that I know who Jesus is? In this text of the feeding of the 5,000, several things stand out. John records those words. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Now, as we look at the other Gospels, no comment is made like this about the Passover. And it just seems to sit there and it doesn't really flow with the rest of the account. And if we think geographically, they're not close to Jerusalem. They're on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Jerusalem is down here. So what is John leading us to? Well, the Passover. What is the Passover? With that word, we are taken back into the Old Testament where God saved his people Israel. We think of that entire Exodus account, and especially the Passover account. There, the spotless lamb was selected to be slaughtered, the blood painted on the doorpost, the lamb itself roasted and eaten, in the meal that was to be remembered, especially on this special night. And that was the night that the angel of death passed over those houses of the children of Israel and struck the firstborn of all the Egyptians. Because of that event, Israel was set free from bondage in Egypt. The Passover was the celebration which all Israel was to celebrate in remembrance of God setting them free. The Passover also brings to mind that Passover that is yet to take place in Jerusalem, where Jesus and his disciples gathered in the upper room where the Lamb of God broke bread with his disciples to celebrate the Passover. Through the lens of the Exodus, we begin to see a distinct parallel. It's almost like when we look out to the mountains, we know that, you know, from a distance, they all look solid mountains, but we know from experience that there's a range, and then there's a range beyond that. And so all these things that John is bringing to mind point us forward to what? As Moses led the people of Israel out of Egypt, crossing the waters of the Red Sea, so Jesus himself crosses the Sea of Galilee. As Moses went up into the mountain, Mount Sinai, so Jesus ascends the mountain. And then there is the bread. Jesus asked Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" And John adds, "He said this to test him, for he knew what he was to do." Jesus knew that he would provide the bread for the people, just as God, through Moses, provided the children of Israel with the manna during their journey to the Promised Land. Later in this chapter 6, Jesus says to the people who had followed him to the other side of the lake, he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives the true bread from heaven." Jesus is teaching his followers that he's like Moses, he's similar to Moses, but he's greater than Moses. You see, manna from heaven that God sent to the people, fed the people of Israel those 40 years. But those people died. Jesus himself is the true bread from heaven, the real thing. He gives bread that does not fail. It never runs out. It is abundant, and it is life-giving. And Jesus said, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And the people responded. They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." So who is this Jesus? He is the true manna from heaven. Eat this bread from heaven, and you will have eternal life. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Give us this bread. Those words remind us of the Lord's Prayer, that fourth petition, where we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Not to take anything away from Luther's explanation of that petition, that God indeed does give us the daily sustenance that we need. But I often think that when we pray that petition, we're praying for more than just bread on the table. We are praying that Jesus would come to us. Give us this bread from heaven. Give us this Jesus. The miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 indeed takes us back to the salvation events in the Old Testament, the lamb's blood on the doorpost, the crossing of the Red Sea, God providing manna in the wilderness. But it also points us ahead to the Lord's Supper. Remember when Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples? He was the lamb that was about to shed his blood as the final sacrifice. He indeed is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And at that time, he was the last Passover lamb. But this takes us also to the cross, where that Lamb of God dies, that whoever believes in him should not perish. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that no one may eat of it and not, so that one may eat of it and not die. Jesus is the bread from heaven, sent by the Father for all to eat, that you may not be lost, but have eternal life. Again, from John, those familiar words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not die, shall not be lost, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Our world today is filled with people running after something to satisfy their desires. But that hunt is often elusive. Everything that they find in their searching does not satisfy. They're not fed. They're reaching out to false gods. And those false gods do not satisfy, they do not fill them. Maybe that kind of hunger has affected you or maybe someone in your family. The influence of the world is great. And we all are affected by this insatiable rush for things of this world that can give us identity, security, and meaning. And in doing so, we turn our backs on the one who can fill us, who does satisfy us, and that is Jesus Christ. Later on in the chapter of chapter 6 of John, we find the crowd who had followed Jesus had received that sign of the miracle of the fish and the loaves, and then they were there for the teaching. They found it hard to swallow his teaching. They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know?" And then John records at the very end of the chapter, "After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him." They no longer were a disciple. They did not follow Jesus anymore. But this Jesus is the bread of life come down from heaven, that you should not perish or be lost. He comes to give you new life in the forgiveness of sins. That forgiveness canceled out your sin, your guilt, and your shame. It is the cross of Jesus that draws all men to him. And this cross draws this each one of us to this new life that is ours today in Christ. And so as those disciples gathered those fragments of bread and placed them into the baskets, so the Lord continues to gather the harvest into the safety of his church so that no one may be lost. Here in his church, you are fed the manna of the Word of God, the true bread of life. You gather at the altar to receive the very body and blood of Christ, the true bread from heaven. Kept in the faith, here in the safety of his church, the basket, there will come the day when the Lord will gather all his saints to that final harvest home. There's that Thanksgiving hymn, "Come Ye Thankful People, Come." Maybe you remember that. But in one of the verses, the last verse of that hymn, we have these words. And there is a more than just a Thanksgiving verse here. "Even so, Lord, quickly come to thy final harvest home. Gather thou thy people in, free from sorrow, free from sin. There forever purified in thy garner to abide. Come with all thine angels, come, raise the glorious harvest home." Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.